Well, good afternoon. Good to see everybody. Hey, ladies, I need you to work with me here, okay? Our men need to go to this men's retreat if they're not signed up, okay? I told you before, I think as far as priority for who should go to camp, high school should be number one. They need it. That's where they meet God. They experience God. God becomes real. So high schoolers, I think, are most important. Secondly, I would put men. Why? Because we need to be boosted up. We need to be encouraged. We need to be reminded to have God number one. And so, ladies, let your man go, okay? Free your man to go up that weekend. In fact, encourage him to go up that weekend. You'll benefit. He'll come back a better husband. He'll come back a better dad. I promise you. And so, guys, I want to encourage you to go to vbf.org and get signed up. It is September 6th through the 8th. It ends next Sunday, the registration. So, again, I can't emphasize enough for us guys to go up there to the men's retreat, okay? Okay, let me read a portion of Scripture today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. As we've been talking, the Christian has three adversaries, three enemies. Three foes that fight against us, fight to keep us from getting saved, and then after we're saved, fight to keep us from growing in our faith. The first is the devil / demons. We talked about that. Pastor Ron talked about that last month. Number two is the flesh, that fallen part of us, that part that has desires, sinful desires, and the Bible says that the flesh sets itself against the spirit. And then the third is the world system, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. One of the favorite games of my grandchildren that live in California is a game called Superheroes. In fact, as soon as I walk through the door, normally the first question is, Pop, can we play Superheroes? And oftentimes they're dressed up like this, ready to go. I mean, there you got... You got Micah, my grandson, as Captain America, and then you got Giovanna, my granddaughter, as Iron Woman. And they're ready to go. Now, who am I? I'm Batman. Now, I don't dress up, but I'm Batman. And the kids know that I'm Batman. Nobody dares to take my superhero character. I'm Batman. And what's the goal of this game? Well, the goal of this game is to kill all the bad guys, as in any game. And so it kind of goes like this. And so we'll get over there, and I'll say, okay, come here. And I'll say, oh, do you see that? And they're like, what? I said, right around the corner, guess who I saw? I saw the Joker. I saw the Penguin. And I saw the Riddler. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Okay, Micah, you hit him low. Giovanna, you hit him high. And I'm going right in the middle, and I have like a little ball. That's always my go-to. I got like a little ball, and Micah's got this little Captain America thing he throws, and Giovanna has a little hammer or something she throws. Okay, we ready? Okay, high, low, right in the middle, okay? In their team, on two, one, two, three, team, and then boom, we take off running. And we run on the side of the house, and we throw at these pretend villains. And, okay, nice job, game. Go back here, and of course, you know, kids go, let's do it again. And here we are 30 minutes later. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't do it anymore. But I thought about those foes, Batman's foes. I said, it's kind of like our enemies. For instance, the Joker. Ooh, that's the modern Joker. That's representative of the devil. Tempting, evil, murderous. Tempting us to distrust God. Luring us into sin. Come, try it. It's okay. And then when we do, he goes from tempter to accuser. Look what he did, God. Look at hypocrite. Look at God. Oh, it's okay. Look what they did. That's the Joker. That's the devil. And then you've got the Penguin. Look at the Penguin. That's the modern-day Penguin, not the Burgess Meredith Penguin of old. The penguins of flesh, muttering, oh, let me sin. Oh, let me go look at some porn. Oh, I don't want to go to church today. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep in. I don't want to read my Bible today. I don't feel like... It's muttering. Penguin, flesh, constantly fighting our spirit. And then we got the Riddler. The Riddler, Jim Carrey's version of the Riddler. I would compare the Riddler to the world. That system of belief that doesn't want God in it, spewing lies, influencing culture, telling us what to believe, and if we don't believe it, then we're biased, we're judgmental. That's what I want to focus on today. I want to talk about the world. Now, I want you to know from the outset that I'm coming at this thing head on from a place of victory. Way too many times, the world is talked about almost in a defeatist attitude, almost talked about in, you know, us versus them. I want to come at this thing biblically and accurately and right. We are coming at this thing from a place of victory today. We're not talking from a place of defeat. We're talking about it from a place of victory. We're going to talk about how we have victory over the world. Now, to understand what I'm talking about, I want to show you something. I thought about doing this lengthy explanation of what the world is, but I came across this video that is so succinct, and it's just very clear on what the world is and who is controlling the world. And so let this watch this, and it'll serve the foundation for what we're going to talk about the rest of the day. Take a peek.
How is Satan God of this world? We're going to answer that question. The phrase God of this world indicates that Satan is the major influence on the ideals, opinions, goals, hopes, and views of the majority of people. His influence also encompasses the world's philosophies, education, and commerce. The thoughts, ideas, speculations, and false religions of the world are under his control and have sprung from his lies and deceptions. Satan is also called the prince of the power of the air. He is the ruler of this world. These titles and many more signify Satan's capabilities. To say, for example, that Satan is the prince of the power of the air is to signify that in some way he rules over the world and the people in it. This is not to say that he rules the world completely. God is still sovereign, but it does mean that God, in his infinite wisdom, has allowed Satan to operate in this world within the boundaries God has set for him. When the Bible says Satan has power over the world, we must remember that God has given him domain over unbelievers only. Believers are no longer under the rule of Satan. Unbelievers, on the other hand, are caught in the snare of the devil, lie in the power of the evil one, and are in bondage to Satan. So when the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, it's not saying that he has ultimate authority. It is conveying the idea that Satan rules over the unbelieving world in a specific way. The unbeliever follows Satan's agenda. The god of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Satan's scheme includes promoting false philosophies in the world. Philosophies that blind the unbeliever to the truth of the gospel. Satan's philosophies are the fortresses in which people are imprisoned, and they must be set free by Christ. An example of one such false philosophy is the belief that man can earn God's favor by a certain act or acts. In almost every false religion, meriting God's favor or earning eternal life is a predominant theme. However, man cannot work to earn God's favor. Eternal life is a free gift, and that free gift is available through Jesus Christ and Him alone. You may ask why mankind does not simply receive the free gift of salvation. The answer is that Satan, the god of this world, has tempted mankind to follow his pride instead. Satan sets the agenda, the unbelieving world follows, and mankind continues to be deceived. It is no wonder that Scripture calls Satan a liar. That answers the question, how is Satan God of this world?
It doesn't take much looking around or convincing you that this world's a mess, right? We're hitting all-time lows. We're setting records for hitting all-time lows. Just this past week, mass shooting, and almost anymore is like it's almost the mass shooting of the month. Now it's getting down to the mass shooting of the week. Now it's getting down to the mass shooting of the day. Two mass shootings within a 13-hour period. We've never had that before in our country. God is getting pushed further and further away from society. He started getting pushed out of the schools in 1963, and he continues to get pushed out of the schools. Meanwhile, other stuff that is contrary to God is being introduced into the school under the heading of inclusion or whatever case may be, whatever title they use. Politicians invoke the name of God in the same breath as they talk about a woman's right to abort a baby. God killing babies, same breath. And nobody bats an eye. Or not many people bat an eye. It's like we've just been so conditioned. So we have to understand that this world is broken, but we also need to understand that you and I are called to be overcomers in this world. We're called to be victorious. Jesus said this in John 16:33. These things, he said, I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. That means pressure, be squeezed into tightness, closeness. He said, in this world, man, you're going to have all kinds of things that are going to press on you and press into you and you know, try to squash you. He says, but take courage. He says, you got to be courageous. You can't cow down. You got to keep your head up. You got to walk through this thing in faith. He says, by doing that, he says, I want you to know I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world, and because you're my followers, you too will overcome the world. And so we're talking today from a place of victory. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. But we need to understand that. Now, let me give you three helps, keys that the Bible talks about on how to live victorious in the world. Here's the first one, is we need to resist the pressure to fit into the world. Resist the pressure to fit into this world. Romans 12:2 puts it this way, and do not be conformed. Again, that's the same thing of being pressed down. It's like one of those Play-Doh molds that you get children. You put the clay in there and you press it down, and the harder you press, the more of a accurate shape of that mold it gets. The world is wanting to press you into it. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. We are either conformers or transformers. We're either thermometers or thermostats. We are either having this world conform us, shape our views, shape our values, dictate to us our happiness level, our joy level, our peace level. Either we are being conformed into how the world lives, or we're transforming the environments around us. And we're called to be transformers. We're called to go into our families and our work environments and into society and live a certain way that people will notice and say, hey, you're not like everybody else. You live differently. And as a result of that, we're able to transform our environment. And then a thermometer, of course, you know what that is, right? Most of us, especially if you're not real adept at cooking turkey, you bring that thermometer at Thanksgiving time, you stab that thing into the turkey breast and you turn it on, you're waiting for it to get up to a certain level. And once it gets up that certain level, you pull it out because that's the level that it should be. Thermometer. You adjust to the thermometer. But we're not to adjust to what society says. Society says, hey, you're only to live this hot. In fact, a lot of the world will say, you can be a Christian. It's okay to be a Christian, but just keep it about right here. Don't get too crazy. Just kind of keep it right there. You can use the name of God, but Jesus, be careful with that name because, boy, you can mention God and it's not real offensive. You mention Jesus and it's like, whoa, right? You, you know, just keep it right here. 72 degrees, man. Just don't be radical. But a thermostat, what does that do? That sets a temperature. That says, hey, I will decide how hot things get. I won't have somebody else determine my temperature. I'll set the temperature. And we have to decide that we are going to live life in such a way that, hey, it's going to be radical. It's going to be hot. It's going to be on fire. And nobody's going to tell us it can't be that way. And nothing's going to stop us from living that way. And that's how we have to be. If not, then it's so easy just to kind of just, okay, I'll just kind of, here's where they want me to stay. This nice little safe box they want me to live in. There's such a pressure to live like the masses. Boy, you speak out anymore on certain things that are ungodly, and man, you're going to face the wrath of your family, your workplace, politician, man, you name it. You stand up for anything sometimes, man, you're gonna catch a ration sometimes. And the world there, it says that don't be conformed, but transformed. That word transformed in the Greek, it's the Greek word metamorpho. You might recognize that. It's where we get our English word metamorphosis. Remember that sixth grade biology class? Where sometimes you'd have like the little caterpillars come out, or a little frog, and here's a little tadpole, and it becomes a frog. It's the process of going from one thing to another. The caterpillar becoming the butterfly. See, those that live in the world under the power of Satan, they're just a bunch of caterpillars. They're just kind of crawling around like this, just pretty much just going around in circles, following each other. What do you believe in? Oh, this is what that, believing. I guess it's what, here's what it says in the world news. I guess I'm going to believe this. And I guess it's okay to do this because everybody else is doing it. And they're just kind of, where are you going? I don't know. I'm just following you. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm following this person. Just going around in circles. But see, we've been transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're born again. The Spirit of God has come inside of us. God is living in us. He's changed our values. He's changed our worldview and how we see things. He's given us power to live for Him. We're not enslaved to our sin anymore. We've come out of our cocoons. We're no longer caterpillars, and now we're butterflies, and we're to fly around and just let the Holy Spirit take us to wherever He wants to blow us. That's how we're to live. Live above the world. Live above the grind of life. Here's a second help in the Bible about how to live victorious in this world is don't fall in love with it. Don't fall in love with the world. Let me paint a scenario for you. Let's say today I go home and Vicki and I are done with lunch. I say, hey, before we get up, I need to talk with you about something. I've been on the computer. I went to this site, hon, called farmers.com, and I met a farm gal. You know how I like the country life. You know I'd like to live in a farm one of these days. And well, hon, I met someone on there. And I don't want you to get upset because I want you to know I love you, Vicki Lohman. I love you. But I met this gal, and I love her too. She cooks me biscuits and gravy, country style. I love her. But you cook me tacos and enchiladas. And I love you too. So I'm going to leave on Friday night, and I'm going to go out to Kansas because I love her. But I got to come back on Sunday night because I love you. I want to come back with you. Don't be upset. Don't be jealous. Just understand, Monday through Friday, I love you and I'll be here with you, but I love her on Saturday and Sunday. How do you think Vicki Lohman would take that? And yet, a lot of God's people are doing the same thing. Look at what it says in James 4:4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Oh, God, I love you. I'm here on Sundays. I raise a hallelujah. I love you, God. Then on Monday, oh, man, look at there. You blankety-blank, and God's, you know, God, I'll see you next Sunday. You got other loves. I'm not saying that you got to be blaring Christian music 24/7. I'm not saying that you got to have your head in the Bible, you know, all the time. But what I'm saying is that you got to have one love, one primary love in the spiritual life, and that's got to be God. He's got to be number one. He's got to be number one. You can't have anything that would be confusing to God or confusing to people saying, I thought you were a Christian, but man, you kind of do this. That can't happen. That can't happen. Maybe some of you need to get rid of your mistress. Maybe some of you, I mean, Vicki Loman wouldn't like me having a farm gal out in Kansas. You think God wants you to have competing loves for you? He doesn't. He wants our whole heart. He wants our whole heart. Thirdly and lastly, to live victorious in this world, we need to live out a radical faith. A radical faith. A lukewarm faith. It never did suffice, but it absolutely won't get you through what's coming down the pike. You say, what's coming down the pike? I believe firmly in my heart that we are in the last days. I believe that. I'm not saying that it's going to happen tomorrow, but I believe there's enough things that you can line up with what the Scripture says is happening that we are in the last days. And Jesus talked about some of the conditions in the last days before his return. And one of the things he said was in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Matthew 24, guys. Because lawlessness is increased, it says, most people's love will grow cold. He says that'll be one of the signs in the end of times. Lawlessness will increase. Hello. Some of the stuff that the world accepts now would have just freaked people out 100 years ago, 50 years ago, some of the stuff that's taking place. And what happens is that when lawlessness, people disregard God's law, and as a result, they don't even follow the laws of man that God has put into place, it causes people to get cold. You get calloused. You just get a kind of a cold heart. You're just like, oh, whatever, indifferent. You get a cold heart. You ever have your feet freeze? You've been out camping or something and didn't bring the right boots, and your feet freeze? Or you athletes, if you ever sprain an ankle and the trainer says, here, put your foot in a tub of ice water. Puts it in there, man, you don't feel. You get a pin and poke it. You can't feel nothing because it's frozen. You can get a frozen soul because of lawlessness. And here's the way to prevent that is to burn bright red hot for the Lord. Melt the ice around you. Don't let the ice freeze you. I believe we're going to have to live so on fire for the Lord in order to make it through. If not, we're going to get caught up. We're going to get caught up. Well, how do you live radical for the Lord? What does radical faith look like? Well, first of all, it's going to require a total obedience to God, complete following God. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. Again, this flesh, look at this. Flesh is always going to get in the way. I understand that. But what I am saying is that we have to get rid of willful disobedience. Thing that we know is wrong, we have premeditated first-degree sin. Premeditated. I know it's sin. I know God shouldn't want me to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway, and that's just how I'm going to live. That's different than a fleshly impulse. We have to get rid of that. Everything the Bible says is wrong is wrong. Everything the Bible says is right is right. Follow the word. Follow the Spirit. It's going to be increasingly important in these last days to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't go to that place. Go to that place. Don't talk with that person. Talk with that person. We're going to have to hear the Lord. We're going to have to hear him. We're going to have to follow him, do what he says. Secondly, to live hot and radical, we have to accept persecution. Accept persecution. Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, he said, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." I've got a question for you. How many of you here would really like to live a godly life? That's one of your goals. You want to become more like God. Okay, you got your hand raised? Okay, I want you to know by raising your hand, you are also raising your hand to accept persecution. Can't have it both. We sing a song here. All of God's promises are yes and amen. We love God's promises, don't we? I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Yes, Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added. Yes, Lord. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Nay, Lord. But it's a promise. It's a promise. We have to accept it. It just goes with the territory. We have to accept it. And then thirdly and lastly, we have to embrace a willingness to be around sinners if we're going to be in this world. We have to resist the mentality of some followers of the Lord that get so bummed out with the world and they get so sick of its messed up thinking and the stuff that they do where they just say, "I'm done. I'm checking out. I'm going up to the mountains, I'm withdrawing, that's it. I can't handle people anymore. Just can't handle them. They're gone. I'm going to build my little Christian world here, real small world. Can't be around people anymore." See, that was never the attitude of Jesus. Jesus, the Bible says, was a friend of sinners. Would hang around in people. He would go and transform people. He would go and he'd be a thermostat. He would set the tone, and people would have to rise up to that. Now, I'm not talking to you young Christians who aren't ready yet to be around a lot of worldly stuff. You'll fall back into it. I'm talking to more mature believers who can go and transform. You'll have an opportunity to do that, some of you, this Thanksgiving, this Christmas. Some of you, and I don't know anybody in particular, but I just know a group this size, this applies to some of you. Some of you don't even go to Christmas and Thanksgiving with family because you don't want to be around certain family members. And so you just don't go. You come up with an excuse, "Oh, we can't make it," or "I'm going here," or whatever. But the reason is you don't want to be around certain family members because maybe their lifestyle's an affront to you, or maybe you've had a falling out with them. And what I would ask you to do is I'd ask you to reconsider that this year. I'd ask you to pray and reconsider it. Does God want you there? Is it uncomfortable? Absolutely it is. Oh, absolutely it is. Is it going to be fun for you? Maybe. Maybe not. Always run the risk of having another blow up. But is it something God wants you to do? Well, you ought at least pray about it and see if the Lord would have you go there. How else are people going to experience the light of Christ and the salt, the influencing, the flavoring influence of Christ unless we're around him? How else are you going to experience that? God's counting on us. He's counting on us. A woman rubbed a bottle and out popped a genie. The maze woman asked if she got three wishes, and the genie said, "No, man, that's old school. Three-wish genies are a storybook myth. I'm a one-wish genie. So, what'll it be?" The woman didn't hesitate. She said, "I want peace in the Middle East then. See this map?" She held up a map of the Middle East and said, "I want all these countries to stop fighting with each other, and I want all the Arabs to love the Jews and Americans and vice versa. It will bring about peace and harmony if this can happen." And the genie looked at the map and exclaimed, he said, "Lady," he says, "man, you got to be reasonable." He said, "These countries, they've been at war for thousands of years. Plus," he says, "I've been locked up in this bottle for 500 years. He said, man, I'm good, but not that good. I don't think it can be done. He said, please make another wish, and please be reasonable this time. The woman thought for a moment and said, well, you know, I've never been able to find the right man. You know, one that's considerate, fun, romantic, likes to stay home with me, helps me clean the house, does what I say, gets along with my family, doesn't buy guns, doesn't drink and smoke, faithful to me. So that's what I'd like to have from you, Jeannie, a good man. The Jeannie let out a sigh and says, oh, bring that map back over here. It might seem impossible to live in this world at times. It's literally going to hell in a handbasket. But that's what the Bible says. It describes it. It says in the end times, it's going to get worse. Fathers against mothers and brothers against sisters and people's love grow cold and nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. It's going to get worse. Why? Well, you push God out. What do you expect? You push God away. You know, God, we don't want you. Fine, God says, live without me. And boom, here it is. It's a world without God. They wanted it. They got it. But it's going to lead to some of the greatest opportunities for you and I, because people are going to realize, like, man, why am I so empty? Why am I so fearful? Why are you so happy? Why does your life seem to have a better quality than mine? You know, who are you? And it's going to lead to opportunities to share. Again, God's counting on us. God's counting on us. And we can be influencers. We can be transformers. But we have to be able to live above it and not be sucked down into it. Does that make sense? Okay, let's pray this. Father, Lord, I pray for us, Lord, today, that, Lord, we would be very courageous to say, I'm going to live out my faith unashamed, unabashed, uncompromising. I'm not going to be obnoxious, but I'm going to live outrageously. I'm going to live out what I believe in my heart. And I understand that when I live that way, God, that some aren't going to like it and I'm going to catch flack. But it's not going to catch me off guard, because that's what you promised. If I live godly, there will be some persecution. But Lord, for every person who persecutes me, there's going to be some that I'm going to be salt and light to and leaven to, Lord. I'm going to influence others. So, Father, I make that stand today, God. Help us to make that stand. And if you're here today, and when I talk about the Lord's return, the next event on the prophetic calendar is an event called the rapture, that a trumpet will sound and we'll meet the Lord in the air. I do believe, as Pastor Ron said, I think it's worth studying out. Pastor Ron believes that the rapture is a reward. Not everybody's going to go up in it. I think at least deserves to be studied out. Are you ready for the rapture? If it happened today, would you be able to look the Lord in the eye and say, I've been living for you. I've been waiting for this moment. I'm not perfect, but I've been living for you. Or would you say, oh my gosh, I hope it doesn't happen today, because I'm not ready, man. I have not been living a Christian life at all. And if you want to change that here today, if you're ready to change it, if you're ready to begin to live for the Lord, this radical faith I'm talking about, I would love to lead you in a prayer. All I'm going to ask you to do is just to know who I'm praying for, just to raise your hand saying, I'm making that decision today. Would you pray with me? I'll pray with you, Pastor. Let's formalize it in prayer. Let's have a prayer together and formalize it. Anybody here, raise your hand. You want to make that decision today? Yep, I see that hand there. Yep. You're going to formalize it today. Lord, just move upon. Just tell anybody here that needs some help, help them to make that decision today. Help them make that decision, Lord. Anybody else, just raise your hand. Okay, you that have your hands raised, they have another one right there. Yes. You pray with me. You that have your hands raised, everybody else together, helping them say this. Say, Father God, I give you my whole heart today. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Come in, live inside of me, Jesus. Cause me to be born again. And from this day forward, I live for you. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a good rest of your Sunday. Be careful driving tomorrow. All them little kids will be out and about, okay? Be careful. God bless.